Clark, and I'm here with the second podcast of Cannabis Uncovered. We're going to call this one, County Commissioners Consider Cannabis Concerns. And three of us went up to a meeting the other day at the county commissioners to listen to what they had to say about what they're considering for new rules and regulations for cannabis in Curry County. With me here is Linda Bozak.
Hi.
And Jim Clark, my husband.
Yeah, hi, Karen.
So we went up to the meeting.
And we found out that the Planning Commission, the County Planning Commission, has recommended that the Board of Commissioners follow one of three options as far as rules and regulation for recreational cannabis. The first option was to adopt more county regulations in addition to what we already have handed down by the state. Option two would add an initiative to the November 2016 ballot to opt out of the recreational marijuana framework established by the state. This option would temporarily ban the production, processing, and sale of recreational marijuana by individuals and businesses until election results are received. And the third option was to leave it well enough alone and not add any county regulations to the already existing state regulations. The planning director is Carolyn Johnson. She spoke, and several of the planning commissioners also spoke.
I think only one of the commissioners voted to put new additional rules on. Wasn't that true?
And yes.
Was that David Brock?
No, the commissioners didn't actually vote because the commissioners were just listening at this meeting. The Board of Commissioners, our county commissioners.
Oh, they gave their opinion, though.
They gave their opinion, but the planning commissioners, the members that sit on the planning commission.
Okay.
I know all these names, but it's important to understand how this all works. They first of all made recommendations to the Board of Commissioners, and that's what they
did. Like Margaret McHugh.
McHugh.
She wanted that we should consider option one. So that would be to make our own regulations.
Right, to add to what the state has.
And Huxley mentioned that permission from the landowners would have to be required. So he had another issue. And Brock Smith mentioned mirroring medical marijuana with recreational marijuana. And so it would be a uniform law to look at. And there's also Commissioner Kennedy wasn't able to attend, but they wanted to wait with the state regulations to see how that worked out.
Yeah, she sent a written statement. And to clarify, I think we need to really clarify because it gets very confusing to people who aren't often going to the county meetings. Our county commissioners, we have three county commissioners who are elected. That would be Tom Huxley, David Brock Smith, and Susan Brown. They're the ones that actually have the power to vote and decide whether we should have more regulations or any of these options. The other people we're speaking about are planning commissioners. They're also called commissioners, but they're not elected. They're appointed by the Board of Commissioners. They've actually studied this quite a bit, and they're making recommendations to the Board of Commissioners who have the power to vote. But they don't vote until they have a regular meeting, and this was a workshop.
Yes, yeah.
The good thing about this workshop was they actually were very willing to listen to the public who came. We didn't know when we went if we were going to have a chance to speak or not, but some workshops are not that way. But this one, they welcomed our comments and were actually very patient and listening to everything that everyone had to say and had some questions for us. So I think we can be happy to share that our county commissioners were listening. And that's an important thing to note. And that's one thing we're hoping to encourage all of our listeners for this program to do is to contact county commissioners with your feelings, and especially contact the planning director, Carolyn Johnson. Her number is 541-247-3284. If you can contact her with any ideas you have, that will be great. Again, that number is 541-247-3284, and that is Planning Director Carolyn Johnson. And she's very willing to listen to what we have to say, and right now is the time, because this is a, like, we're like pioneers in this whole field of marijuana and medical marijuana, recreational marijuana, and commercial versus personal use. And this meeting was really mainly about commercial use. What they're really deciding right now is how to regulate the commercial production
of recreational marijuana.
Of recreational marijuana.
And we had some people from the audience that volunteered to speak. I volunteered not knowing what I was going to say because I wanted to hear some comments that I would comment back or ask questions of. But we had Carl King from, is he from Nikisa Beach?
He's from Nasika Beach,
yeah.
Yes.
And he was very concerned about the dark sky. You know, Port Orford has an ordinance, I guess, so that it protects them from having bright lights within their area so that people can see the night sky. Carl King had that concern because some people do use lights for marijuana growing. Maybe they would have security lights or they would have lights in their greenhouses, and he was concerned about that. About the odor, we all know that marijuana smells like skunk. That's why they call it skunk. And so he was saying, well, how far do you want to be from a neighbor so that they can't smell it? And then there's security cameras. People are very concerned about the security cameras maybe being turned on them instead of the marijuana grow, because we've all heard where people get security cameras and do things like that.
Right.
Where
so,
they're filming their neighbors instead of
exactly.
what they're supposed to be filming.
So he wants regulations that say specifically that you must restrict your security cameras to your own property.
Yes, yes.
Which I kind of think that should be a rule for anybody. But we shouldn't all be taking pictures of our neighbors without permission.
No.
So that is an important issue. And as far as the dark sky, I was kind of surprised about that mention because I thought if you're growing marijuana outside, you would use natural light. But apparently, Jim, you were explaining why you might need lights.
Well, there are several ways to grow marijuana or any other plant. But the idea is it uses sunshine and nutrients out of the soil to grow more plant. And so the length of time the sun is up triggers different things in different plants. In the case of cannabis, the plant is sensitive to when the nighttime, the sunlight hours equal or the same number as the dark period. That triggers the plant to go into a blossoming stage. And then you can do some more wiggling with this thing as the plant gets further along to speed up the progress. And so people having grow sites that are indoors or that have run-on lights, they generally have about three to four harvests a year. And it's a pretty busy place. You know, they've got little plants growing. They've got seeds that are germinating. There's a lot of work that goes into putting that organization together. And, that's it.
So it's helpful to the... Especially if you're probably growing a large amount for commercial purposes, you might really want to change the amount of light that you have.
Yeah, I would like to encourage people to take a look at this thing because it is probably one of the bigger financial enterprises that's going to start in Oregon this year. And I understand the need for a degree of control so that people don't do crazy things. But and you have to protect people who are using these because this is used as a medicine. And as a medicine, it has to have some kind of reasonably predictable results and side effects and that sort of thing. My experience with cannabis is that it doesn't seem to have any negative side effects unless you use a very lot of it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And that's not what they're asking.
So, yes, and the people, we really want to encourage those actually making the final decision about these regulations, make sure they've really addressed all sides of the issues. Because a lot of us really, like I say, I didn't know how much of a need there was for lights. And mm-hmm. we're all learning more and more as it surfaces. And since it's legal, now we're able to learn more about it. It's out in the open. It's uncovered. Cannabis uncovered. So we need to be able to learn more about it. And we're so glad that our commissioners are actually having meetings where they're listening to the public. And They can hear more, though, from even those who can't get up to Gold Beach to the meeting or down to Gold Beach. They can hear more from us if we will take advantage of the chance to write to them or email them. They have addresses, they have emails, and they have phone numbers. And if you go to the county website, which is co.curry.or.us, you click on Board of Commissioners, you'll find an email for all three commissioners. Each one has a separate email address. Please let them know what you're feeling, because that's the only way they're going to know some of the ins and outs of growing and using cannabis so that it's effective, both medically and recreationally.
Well, a lot of people who are making these decisions for us about cannabis are not cannabis users. And so we need to inform them.
Exactly.
What our needs are and how what they want to do impacts on what we're going to do as growers for ourselves, or if we want to be a commercial grower. You know, I was really impressed with this Jason Adams that came.
Yes, yes.
I'm always impressed when I see younger people step up.
Yes.
And he was in the service and evidently got hurt really badly, and he's had some real health issues. He also lost 100 pounds, and he said cannabis helped him do that. But he bought a pig farm, and he's ready to go. And he says that, you know, cannabis doesn't stink as much as pigs, and that's what the neighbors, he talked to his new neighbors, and they were happy that they were going to get cannabis instead of pig smell.
Yeah, he bought a fake pig farm, but he's not going to raise pigs anymore.
No, he's going to grow cannabis on it.
Exactly.
But he said to the commissioners, go ahead and tax me, make me pay. So, you know, look at all the revenue that Colorado has made. More tax from cannabis than alcohol this past year. So he wanted to use option three. I think everybody that stood up there except
Carl King, I think.
Carl King wanted option three.
Yeah.
I can't imagine having somebody lay on a bunch of regulations that might even duplicate some of the other regulations.
Right.
Because we haven't sorted this all out. We don't know what the problems are going to be.
Well, Carl had reasons for what he was suggesting.
Yeah.
And there are some to consider, but we really need to be careful if we're going to add regulations, because we really, and I mean, I'm pretty much in favor of regulations, because I think we can't just, the free market works pretty well, but sometimes we need to have a little control over what's happening.
The state had 78 pages of regulations.
That seems like it's probably enough. But,
and I don't think that they would fail to cover almost anything in 78 pages.
It seems like it. And another thing we do want to emphasize, this was a county meeting, but the state is in session right now. As we speak, it's February 15th, and they are in a short session. So I think it goes through March, but I'm not sure. So you need to check out what the state is doing also, because they are, as we speak, getting ready to vote on new regulations concerning marijuana and cannabis.
I have that right here in front of me. 4014, HB 4014, will remove the requirement right now that you cannot apply for a commercial license with a new recreational marijuana unless you've lived here for 2 years in the state of Oregon. And they want to remove that to bring in new business.
Oh, that's a good one.
And so you could come from Colorado, after you've been successful in Colorado, you could come and spend your millions in Oregon to start another cannabis business.
And I have actually heard from people who moved to Oregon hoping to start a business in the marijuana field, and they could not do that until they've lived here for 2 years. And it's like, gee, you know, that makes a real hardship. And we have people willing to come here and help our economy, but they can't do it yet. So I think that would be a good one to write to or contact our state representatives about. It's probably almost too late to actually write a letter in snail mail. I think we need to email the state representatives.
Yes, and also they're going to vote on HB 4094. That's where they're going to take the criminality away from the banks that want to help people put their money in a bank instead of under the bed. You know, it's not very safe what we're doing right now. We're opening ourselves up for a lot of crime, because there could be a lot of hidden money in our county. out in the middle of the, what do they put it out by the outhouse, you know, under the rock. And
under
so they're going to make it so that the banks can do business without the fear of the federal government coming down on them.
I'd like to see us really, really encourage that. I do know that one of our, at least one of our federal senators, our U.S. senators, Senator Merkley, has spoken about that, and he's working on that. But if we could get that started at the state level so that we really make some progress and make it safer for our cannabis dispensaries and retailers at all levels to handle money like the rest of businesses do, it would be really good. We need to do that. Because right now, they basically use cash. And it makes it very difficult.
And also on another bill that's being looked at is SB 1511. And what they're going to do is with that one is allow medical marijuana customers to go into a recreational marijuana area. I go in and I recognize that we now have them separate. You have to go in one door to go to the recreational, one door to go into the medical marijuana. And this law would permit people to buy together in one place. But the medical marijuana people would not pay any tax.
So if you had your card, you wouldn't pay.
You need the card just to identify yourself and to be served there.
Right.
Yeah.
As a medical marijuana patient.
And actually, the card costs money too. So you've already paid your taxes when you have your card. So,
I just read today that if you're a veteran, you only pay $20 to the state for your medical marijuana card.
Oh, that is good.
So I wish I had served in. I have to pay like $375 and
it's
then get to pay
more,
$20.
Yeah.
So my husband could get a medical marijuana card for $20. He's a veteran.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
And I think it's really a good thing because a lot of veterans have trouble with PTSD, and marijuana has been definitely shown to be helpful for PTSD.
Yes.
So, and I'd like to give a shout out to someone who's not with us anymore, Jim Clark, lived here in Brookings, and he worked very hard, made many trips to Salem to make PTSD, to put that on the list of conditions that could be treated legally with medical marijuana. And unfortunately, he's passed away now, but he worked really hard on that, so we can appreciate his efforts, as well as the efforts of everyone else who has worked to make marijuana legal in Oregon and getting to be other states too. And a shout out to all the voters, because Measure 91 passed November 4th, 2014, and in Curry County, we had 57% yes votes and to 43% no votes. That was 5,590 Curry County residents and voters who voted yes to allow recreational marijuana in our state. So we can thank them. Actually, statewide, it did pass, as we all know. It passed in Oregon, but the percentage was actually lower statewide. It was 56% in the state. So Curry County's right up there on the forefront of this. So we can thank all those who voted yes and encourage you to continue voting for the things that you believe in.
I think it's nice to be able to say, yes, you can have. Now each family can have 4 plants. You do not need a medical marijuana card to have 4 plants in your home. You have to keep them out of sight from the public. That is one criteria, and which is not easy for everybody.
Yeah.
But it at least allows somebody that has very little money, they can now make their own medicine.
Right.
Without getting the medical marijuana card.
And there are still a lot of rules, but if you're going to do it, you need to make sure you find out what the rules are for the ordinary person to be growing and producing their own product, but their own medicine. But it's allowed now, and that's a big step. So we're getting there.
Well, I think the medical marijuana card people, it's very confusing. When you start reading these rules and regulations, if you have a medical marijuana card, you're sitting there going, what happens to me about this? Can I do this? Oh, do I have to be 200 feet from a fence? No. If you're growing for yourself, Nobody's going to come and look at your grow. Nobody's going to make you write down how many plants and what stages they are. But if you're a commercial grower, you're going to have to report to the state once a month, I think it is, on the stages of all your plants. But don't worry, if you're doing four plants as a recreational user, or if you're doing medical marijuana and you're only doing it for yourself, you don't have to worry about all the new regulations because they don't really apply to you. Except for, let's say I'm a medical marijuana cardholder and I wanted to give my tincture that I make to a dispensary, which I've done in the past. The new labeling is insane. I'm going to have to take a little mini class on how to label my product because there's about 20 steps to that label now.
So it's getting, regulations are good, but they're going to make it a little more difficult for people who want to.
Yeah, but we want a label like we find when we go to the drugstore and we pick up a bottle and we say, oh, it's got aloe vera is on the first thing. It means there's more aloe vera in that product than anything else. And they're going to require that same thing from marijuana.
And the consumers are going to want it. So it's going to be something we're going to have to work on. But I'm very glad, Karen, you mentioned the 200 feet. We hadn't gone into that yet. That was something that really did come up during the workshop that we went to at the county level because they were proposing increasing the setback required for marijuana plants from the property line. And this could make a real problem for people who have just a small amount of land. And even on the commercial level, if you have to set back 200 feet from your property line, it really means you're going to have to buy a lot more property for your grow than you would otherwise. So that is a really important thing. And if you're interested in commercial, getting a commercial grow, you really want to pay attention and let the county and the state know what you feel about that setback. Because part of the reason is for the odors and the lights. And so those are all things we have to weigh the needs of neighbors as well as the needs of the people growing it. And we do need to remember, no matter how much the neighbors might be bothered by the smell of marijuana growing, remember the pig farm. And somebody also at the workshop mentioned cows. If they had a large herd of cows, that would also not smell very well. So, in fact, it really would not. So it's not fair to say we can't have marijuana, but we could have cows. So we need to.
Yeah, I was thinking that the reason for the setback is the distance between your grow and your property line. And one of the reasons was because of the odor, which you mentioned. By the way, there are several distinct odors, most of which are very pleasant in cannabis. And but you can get both. They make the skunks. They call it a skunk because it smells like one. They have another group called diesels, and they call it a diesel because it smells like a truck. And that's just the way things got put together in the 60s when all the kids got started on this thing. and it survived to this day. That reminds me that much of the information you read on the web regarding cannabis, you really have to look at it very carefully. Some people make really outrageous claims, and other people are much more disciplined in their determining what this product is and how well it helps or hurts, whatever. So you got to be kind of careful because there's a lot of volunteers writing things on the internet that aren't very careful about their assertions. So the other thing is we have had 50 years of the government downgrading the value of marijuana to anybody. And for years, it is still classified as a class one drug. And the government says it has no medical value. And that's really strange because it's only been a few years since the federal government patented cannabis as a medical help aid. And they hold that patent to this day. So there's a little conflict there that I don't think we're ever going to see resolved in our lifetime, but nonetheless, a lot of emotion went into the early years of this, and it's going to take a while to untangle it all and get back to something more reasonable. Might add, too, I was really impressed with that young man who visited his neighbor when he bought that pig farm, because he confronted the problem before it became a problem. And I think if you're reasonably well-informed, you can save yourself a lot of grief and a lot of angst in your neighbors, among your neighbors, if you just be reasonable and share with folks.
And talk to your neighbors ahead of time. That's a really, he did that. And that really makes a difference, because then they can see him as a person and not as an enemy, and as a neighbor who wants to do their best to keep everybody happy. And what you said about the medicinal use, just to mention that I have met so many people who were on really strong illegal drugs and experienced lots of side effects from them, and they were able to switch over to using at least some marijuana, and some of them totally used marijuana cannabis for their felt their medical needs, but at least they're able to reduce the number of drugs that they're taking. And that's a big plus, because a lot of pharmaceuticals have some pretty heavy side effects, and it's really nice to be able to have an option. It doesn't mean everyone has to use medical marijuana, but they can now, and it's really wonderful that they have that option. Please keep in contact with your legislators, both the county level and the city level. We didn't mention too much about the cities, but all our three cities have a city council that has power to make more regulations if they deem it necessary. So we want to keep our eyes open to what's going on at the legislative level, especially with the state, because the state regulations affect us all. And remember to vote, because that's the only way we got this to be legal, was that all those people voted yes, and that's why we have it. So thank you for listening to Cannabis Uncovered on KCIW.
And can I talk about a meeting coming up on
Please do.
February 21st, on Sunday the 21st at 1 o'clock at the Harbor Fire Hall. There's another meeting, and you should really want to come to this meeting if you're interested in wanting to know more about cannabis, or you use cannabis, or you're thinking of using cannabis. Because I'm going to force the issue this month, and you're going to give yourselves a new name that means something to everybody.
And right now the name is 420 in the Kitchen, right?
Well, I don't even know that it has a name.
Oh, okay.
But it needs its own name. So that's what that's our main goal this February, is to give us a name that means something to everybody. And then we're going to go forward and probably get a nonprofit status, and we can really do some things in our community.
So here's your chance. So come to that meeting. What is it? February 21st.
Yeah, Sunday. It's at the third Sunday of the month.
Yeah.
And it's at 1 o'clock at the Harbor Fire Hall on Benham Avenue.
And we might mention too that we have some Facebook pages in Brookings that deal with cannabis, and one is 420 in the Kitchen.
And there's Potville.
And Potville.
And I think Clone is Southern Oregon anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's lots, I think. But right in Brookings, we have two Facebook pages dedicated to more and more information about this emerging cannabis
market. And there's always a notice up in Brookville and on the pages that I can find for the meeting. And I usually put directions, time. And we like just the public can come. You don't have to be a cannabis user.
Okay, well, thank you so much for listening. And if you enjoyed this program, we encourage you to go to kciw.org, click on Donate, and you'll find many ways to help KCIW get on the air. And I might mention also that we do need volunteers. If you want to volunteer, you can do that through our website. Click on Get Involved, and you'll see ways there that you can sign up to volunteer or to even have your own program.
And we'd love more people to come and talk about cannabis.
Definitely. Yes, and if you have comments that you'd like to add about our program today or just about cannabis in general, we'd love your input. Thank you for listening, and you'll be hearing from us next time.
TTFN.
The opinions expressed in this program are those of the participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information shared is not intended to substitute for professional medical care.